Hello, makers. Jen here. How is it already 2024? How did that happen? I feel like the older I get, the faster every year moves. It's absolutely wild. Anyways, I hope that you are able to take some time for yourself, no matter what that looks like for you right now. If you're new here, hi, we're Making, and we are the very first multi-craftual social marketplace app made for makers, crafters, and artists. By makers, crafters, and artists. Well, I mean, I'm not the only one doing things around here. There's not a lot of us. We're a very small team, but regardless, go to themakingapp.com. You can download the app there and sign up. Join our beautifully diverse community in human and craft. You will not regret it, I promise. Okay, we have some updates. First up, designers. I have great news. We are crossing our T's and dotting our I's on the CMS. Now, what does that mean? That means that you will be able to manage your shop on the Making Marketplace via our web app. Yes, on your computer. Now, I know some of you are so excited about that. We are too. After that, we will be onboarding makers that would like to sell their finished goods and supplies on the Making Marketplace. We have also partnered with an amazing startup called Sendal for our shipping options here in the US. Now, don't worry, we are still a global app that will include a global marketplace. We will just be utilizing a different service until Sendal is international, which is coming. Now, why is Sendal special? Well, Sendal is America's very first 100% carbon neutral delivery service. And, you know, we're trying to build something different around here. So let's just say that really aligns with our values. Also, since this episode is all about Barcelona knits, I do want to confirm that we are going to be adding options of enjoying the app in other languages. It's on the map. So yes, things are definitely happening behind the scenes. Stay excited, dear makers. Let's get to this episode. I had the most fun time editing this episode. I laughed a lot. I felt the passion and love through the screen. I cried again. Again, so grab your whip and get to know some amazing artists. You're going to want to watch this all. And I know if you're looking down here and it feels like you don't have enough time to watch all of this, just pause and come back. Promise you will not regret it. While you're here, if you wouldn't mind hitting the subscribe button and also sharing our podcast with all of your maker friends, that would be amazing. I would super appreciate it. We work really hard to bring you fun content here, and it's the perfect way to show us a little love. Okay, makers, enjoy your sneak peek into the Making Meet and Greets from Barcelona Knits 2023, and we'll see you in the Making app. I almost forgot. Are you going to Vogue Knitting Live? Because we're going to Vogue Knitting Live. So if you're going to Vogue Knitting Live or you're in the New York area, keep an eye out for information on all of the things that we're going to be doing while we're in New York. I'm so excited. In the meantime, we also have a group chat, aka Circle, started in the Making app for people who are attending Vogue Knitting Live or are going to be in the area at that time. That way, we can all keep up with each other and schedule some get-togethers, coffees, sit and knit, crochet, whatever your favorite thing is. If you want to be added to that, just comment below with your Making app user handle or DM me on the Making app. My handle is KnitPearl. Okay, now let's really get to this. Enjoy.
Hello, makers. My name is Jen, and I am Head of Marketing for Making. We are a social marketplace app for makers, crafters, and artists. And we're also at Barcelona Knits, in Barcelona, which is, I still can't believe that we're here.
Me too, sometimes.
I know, it's been so much fun, and just everyone has been so wonderful. Very amazing person here with me that you all need to know. So, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Laura. Everyone knows me as Laura Algarra with my surname because my Instagram account and all these adventures started kind of like spontaneous from my personal profile. It became like a public thing. And so, I'm a crochet designer. I specialize in teaching about construction and garment making. But in
Wonderful.
crochet, everyone sees crochet like a blanket or like a granny squares.
I mean, what you're wearing.
Yeah, kind of like this. So just to tell the world that crochet can be wearable and that can be also on the level as knitting.
Of course.
So I do teaching online. I do teach in this festival two classes about garment design and about perfecting your jackets and your crochet cardigans to make them nicer. I have a course in domestic art, so there's a design course over there where you can initiate all about design, you know, all things crochet. I love crochet, so
yes,
all things crochet. And I also do, which is kind of like different completely, but I do little accessories for knitting and crochet, like you call it notions, yeah? So I have my own workshop underneath my house. I do the wooden notions for crochet, for knitting.
So you're also a woodworker?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've learned during the pandemic. I was doing teaching, but in shops, so everything stopped. And my boyfriend, he has many different gigs, but one of them, he has a woodworking job. So he taught me, and then we set up a little workshop, and we do that. So I also have a stand here as a vendor with my little things and online. So I'm busy.
Yeah, you've got a lot going on.
Yes. I just had twins as well. So.
I saw that. So as I'm hearing you explain all of these things that you're doing, I also know that you have twins. That's wow.
I know. They're 1 year old now, so it's getting easier.
So where did your maker journey begin?
So I was living in London because in my previous life, I was a teacher. So I studied in London and I started working there. I lived there for many years. And as a hobby, I picked up knitting. But it was quite stressful for me. I don't know why. It was stressing me out. So I didn't get the hang of it. And a friend of mine said, well, I do crochet, why don't you try that? And I found it much more relaxing. So I started doing crochet. And as I said, I started sharing pictures on my Instagram. And I found a lovely community. And I started making friends. And then from that, I don't know how, but you know, brands started to contact me if I wanted to collaborate. And you know, it just snowballed
from there.
Yeah.
So did you learn woodworking in the pandemic?
Yes.
Predominantly crochet and woodworking right now.
Yes.
Got
that's
it.
What I do. Okay.
And design,
yes.
And a mother, and yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Our app is global and multi-craftual. So if you open it up, you'll see anything from knitting to crochet to baking to woodworking to glass art, all of that. And obviously we love both knitting and crochet, but some of our friends, especially in the US that are crochet designers, have been talking more and more about how crochet should be appreciated on the same level as knitting, and how it's sad that more yarn shops and festivals aren't including it as much, especially in the States.
Yeah.
So as a crochet designer, how do you think we as a community who does embrace crochet, how do you think that we can kind of break that barrier down? I feel like everywhere outside of the U.S., crochet is so huge.
I wouldn't say that crochet is so huge. We encounter the same problem here, Europe, because my opinion, crochet designers at the beginning, maybe because it's more relaxed, kind of like it flows in a different way.
Yeah.
When we were doing patterns, we weren't being careful. So, for example, sizing or, I don't know, taking more care of explaining about construction.
And
so all these things, I think, first us as a designers, we have to start taking it seriously and saying, okay, we have to do patterns that are complete, that are inclusive for everyone. And I think that's the key for making crochet, especially for garments, because sometimes accessories or amigurumi, it's more fun. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be so into...
precise.
Yeah. And I think that's the key, designers making more effort, learning more. Mm-hmm. And for example, I learn a lot from knitting because I do it sometimes. It stresses me out a lot.
I was going to ask, does it still stress you?
Yeah, a lot. But I read the patterns and I see the care and I see the small standards. And maybe that's what we have to do, bring a standard for everyone in the Persian community, saying, you know, as someone that buys a pattern, reach the designer and say, listen, I love your pattern, but I found this and this and this to make it better. And that way we're going to reach those standards that's going to make crochet at the same level. Yeah. I think maybe it's an unpopular opinion, but I think still we have to learn a lot as a crochet community to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I explained myself.
No, you did. You did. And I think that the more people talk about it, about... you know, just bringing crochet to more of the forefront, I think the more that you'll see it in yarn shops.
Yeah.
And if any yarn shop owners are watching, have crochet swatches, please.
Yes. Yeah, there are things that have been done lately. For example, I don't know if you know Murit magazine.
Yes, yes.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, it's a magazine for crochet.
It's beautiful.
But it's beautiful. It's modern. And that's how it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Or at least it's my opinion.
I agree.
They did exactly what I'm telling you. They took great designers and they did great patterns, complete, inclusive. It has everything with lovely yarn, which is perfect because crochet uses more yarn knitting.
I know. That's another thing. If you're trying to sell yarn...
Yeah.
Be inclusive with crochet. And Tunisian crochet uses even more yarn.
Even more. Yeah. And that's the thing. When you're going to buy, like you go to a festival, sometimes crocheters, they just run away of expensive yarn. Because but if you use that kind of yarn with that quality, the garments are going to be lovely. And everything is going to be... even nicer.
You'll have it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Also, we have to teach now how to understand yarn, what you're buying, why you're buying it. It's something that I'm always telling my community, like, don't go and buy crazy because it's cheap, or don't go and buy crazy because it's expensive. Understand what you're buying, because we are supposed to make for the long run, right? Not just making. It has to be meaningful. And this is one of my philosophy. But
if you could craft anywhere, we'll say crochet because that's your favorite. Okay. If you could crochet anywhere in the world and you could bring one person, so that's anyone, famous, family, friends.
Oh, famous as well.
Where would you go and who would you go with?
Wow. I wasn't ready for this.
I know. We're asking all the hard questions.
No, I like it. You know, I will go, I don't know exactly the place, but I will go somewhere where there's no internet.
Oh.
Yeah? On a sofa. No internet on a sofa. Who would I go with? I think, I don't know. I like the famous person.
Yeah. Thing. And if they don't know how to crochet, you could teach them. So it's really anybody, right?
Yeah. Could I say Stephen Carell from The Office?
Yes.
Yes, I would love to go with him. I love The Office.
That's so fun. Yeah. I
don't think he crochets, but...
But you would teach him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear... If you're watching, we have an offer to learn how to crochet here, so get on that.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we'll put... the contact information is down below, so you know how to get a hold of her. Okay. That's... I love that. Yeah. So... Is that what your typical setup is at home, on the couch?
Sofa, Netflix. Yeah.
Netflix.
I love Drag Race.
I just started rewatching all of Drag Race.
I love it.
Okay, so now you have to come visit Seattle.
Of course.
Because Val comes over.
Hello, everyone. My name is Paloma. I'm an illustrator. I am based in Spain. I have also an online shop, and I am also a dyer of yarns.
So we were talking about the microphones, and I learned something new.
Yeah.
What is the little fluffy thing on the top?
Well, this, in Spanish, it's called doggy, perrito.
Which, so much cuter, yeah.
I don't know. So like a cute black dog. So.
Yeah. When did your maker journey begin? When did you start being creative and drawing and all of that?
I draw since I can remember. And I studied fine arts in Spain, in the south of Spain. And then I moved, when I was 20-some, I moved to Germany. And then I started to work in Pasquale, which is a very famous brand. So I used to knit when I was younger because my grandma teach me how to knit because I was very nervous. So she decided to sit me on the couch and said, oh, you are going to start knitting. And so I will have some peace. When I started in Pasquale, I find again myself with the yarn and I fell in love again. And it was very nice to mix the art, like the knowledge of the colors, because I really love to the colors and how to mix the combinations. And that's it, how basically I started with the yarn and I keep drawing.
You mentioned that knitting like calms you.
Yes.
I feel like that's how it is for a lot of people. It's such a wonderful, like...
Well, not always.
Not always. Well, that's fair, yeah.
It depends. If I am knitting a very easy scarf, it's like, oh,
yes,
this is so relaxed.
I know. Let's say you're sitting down with your knitting. You have a whole day to knit. No distractions or draw. You can do both. What does your perfect setup look like?
Well, when I draw or when I knit, I cannot hear or watch or do something that will distract me. So that's why I watch every single reality show on Netflix.
Okay.
Like well, Love is Blind and...
Oh my goodness, okay.
Sorry.
No, we can talk about this.
Okay.
I've watched it too.
I'm very, very, very fond of Selling Sunset and
these
kind
yes.
of shows. I know that people think that I'm at home listening, I don't know, Beethoven or something.
Yeah.
Like chilling with a cup of tea and no, I'm just watching. I used to watch this kind of murder programs.
Oh, but, yeah.
But I started to, you know, when I saw that the knitting work or a draw, I thought about this crime and it was like, oh, I should stop.
Yeah. Yes, that connection there.
Yeah,
you don't
it reminds
have that.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
and
no.
Especially if it's like a cute little animal and then you remember the crime that you were listening to, the true crime, and you're just like, this doesn't connect.
No, of course, because my artwork is basically a kawaii style.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, no, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Tell us about your mascot, which is... A cozy bunny knitting in Espanol.
Conejito.
Conejito.
Conejito tejedor.
Tejedor. Perfecto. What was the inspiration behind
my bunny? I have two bunnies. And actually, if you take a look of my work, you will see that all the bunnies are like a fluffy brown bunny with those big ears and a small bunny, the tiny white. And those are my bunnies.
Oh.
They are my inspiration.
That's so cute. Do you have more than bunnies or just the bunnies?
The bunnies and a dog. Everyone knows my dog because today he's not here because he's very old and he's getting tired. But he always comes with me to every event. And actually, many people ask me today, where is the dog? Because I call him in Spanish, perrito tendero. Because he stands like this. And when people come, he goes out and say, like, I say, go and say thank you. And he goes, and you. He's very nice. I love animals.
So
you can tell.
Yes, 100%. If you could craft anywhere in the entire world with anyone... Where would you go and who would you go with?
Okay, the person would be Michael Fassbender. Why
not?
Oh,
I like it. I see. Here's the I was going to say, it could be anyone. You could teach them your craft too, right?
Yeah, I can teach him while he's with a t-shirt,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yes.
that's a plan. Fassbender.
So. Okay, where would you, anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Where? Oh, I don't know. Where would I go? Probably to San Francisco. I love San Francisco.
Oh,
I've been there many times, and I cannot get tired of that city. It's amazing.
It's one. So Michael Fassbender in San Francisco.
Yeah, teaching him how to draw. No, how to knit, you know?
Yeah.
It must be very interesting to see him, you know, working with the fingers.
Yeah,
and
there he is.
Well. Oh my God.
And we just became Making After Dark.
Yeah. They will never call me again.
No. This is great. I'm very excited to post this interview. Besides growing your own business, obviously, which is important, why is it important for you to have connection in the fiber arts community?
Well, first, because I love this community, mm-hmm. and it also gives me the chance to put my work in a different place than my own online shop. I've been working with this community since I was in Germany. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people. They are always very warm, very nice, and it's nice to be part of this. And it's also nice to see how can my work can be also part of this. Actually, that's my design also.
Oh my God.
There we go.
I am not selling this back here.
Yeah. Did you plan that? Did you set that up? You're like, by.
No, promise. Sometimes it's happened. The other day in Madrid, I was in the subway, and I was carrying one of my bags, and I hear someone to say, oh, look at this bag. I followed the girl who made that bag on Instagram. And I was like, it's me, girl. It's, I can't even say that. But it's nice to see that what I'm doing is success. Yeah. People appreciate it. And this is always something nice.
Yourself.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Nina. I'm from Hungary. I live in the capital of Budapest with my small family. And I mostly work alone. I have a little studio next to my apartment, so it's very cool to go 2 meters away to work.
Yeah,
it's very fun, and I have been dyeing yarn more than 10 years now, but I started with my other hobby, which was first cross-stitching.
Great.
So I started dyeing work with embroidery threads. It seems like ages ago. Many designers used my threads, my colors, so I was feeling I'm famous.
Yes.
But
famous.
After my daughter was born, she's 7 now. I learned to knit and knitted a lot.
Yes.
For her, for me, for everyone. I have more free time than I do now.
Yeah.
So I could knit a lot. I was thinking, why shouldn't I give a go for yarn dyeing? And I tried, and it was fun, more fun mm-hmm. than dyeing embroidery threads. Yarn dyeing is different. It's mostly animal fibers that I use. I don't use plant yarns, so the colors are more richer, more vibrant, and I have more possibilities to mix colors, so it's just more fun than embroidery threads. So I should choose which one will I continue, and I vote for the yarns. Mm-hmm. And I stopped embroidery threads dyeing 2 years ago. And I'm happy that I made the choice.
You went full yarn.
Yeah,
only yarn. Nice.
Yarn and sometimes spinning fiber.
Oh, great.
Because in my country, there are many, many spinners mm-hmm. and weavers too. So I dye very thin yarns to hand weaving.
Do you have some fibers here with you?
No, not yet, because I came here by plane and I have limited space
yes.
in my luggage, so I couldn't bring everything.
Yeah. It's fluffy.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much space. Not the weight is too much, but
yes,
the space
but the
is
space.
Too much.
Yeah. 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 You started knitting 7 years ago.
No, more.
More
than 7 years
Got it.
Ago.
Okay.
But when I was a beginner, it was disappointing for me because I don't like knit swatches.
Oh.
So I'm too brave and I mm-hmm. start what I think in any gauge. So I never made any swatches. And it was disappointing that the finished things were not okay for me. Not my size, too big, too small. So a little bit more than 7 years, it's 8 years ago, when a friend of mine who is very professional knitter by herself and knits a lot and beautifully, she told me that it's important to knit swatches because it's a huge work and respect your work. Mm-hmm. By making swatches to not make any mistakes in bigger pieces.
Yeah.
Because it takes time and respect your time. Now I take time
I take
and
time.
Make swatches. And if I need, I count twice or three times that it will be enough mm-hmm. and good. Is it? What?
Perfect. Yes. Do you have any memorable interactions with makers that have purchased your yarn?
Yes. When someone bought some yarns and the next year came back with a sweater used my yarn. And it's so heartwarming and I'm so overwhelmed. And this is the best feeling for a dyer. When you see your yarn in a finished piece and they are wearing the pieces, and this is the best part. It's really memorable.
I love that they came back the next year and they were wearing it. It's beautiful.
Hi, my name is Paula. I am here in Barcelona just for the weekend, and I have a little podcast called Knitting Pitingles, and that's where you find me. I'm just a knitter.
Great. And a podcaster.
And a podcaster, yeah, I suppose.
What do you do when you're not knitting or podcasting?
I have two children that keep me quite busy.
Oh, yes.
And I'm a Spanish teacher as well. So I teach Spanish in Ireland. I used to work in a kindergarten for 12 years. So that's my
other.
So I know about kids.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes. My next question is, will you teach me Spanish?
I can. Of course I can, Jen.
I've tried, but, you know, I get nervous when I have to pronounce something. I don't know what it is, but
we're... But there's Americans who speak Spanish.
I actually took Spanish in high school, so I knew some, and then I took a big break.
And you never practiced.
And I didn't practice. How did your maker journey begin?
Oh, Jesus, that's a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
My mom, who also has a little podcast, well, a little podcast, a big podcast, needed always that I try to teach me. A million times, and he never
trying to learn Espanol.
Exactly. And then my granny crocheted. We all learned crochet with her. I got pregnant with my first child. Mm-hmm. We all started knitting and crocheting again, trying to make things for them.
Yeah.
So I started with crocheting, and I crochet as much as I could, and I got sick of it nearly. No offense to the crochet. Like, I still try to do crochet every now and then. But then during the pandemic, I had another baby. And I had time, and the baby was really good. So I actually had time, and I did a couple of courses on knitting. And there I didn't have my mom there to fix the issues, so I had to actually learn to fix what mistakes I made. And it was when I actually started learning, because I had to do it myself. And now I barely stopped.
Yeah, I feel like that's the best way to learn. Knitting and crochet is to make mistakes and then learn how to fix it.
Yeah.
And I still am learning that stuff all the time.
I say, like, my aunt is learning to knit now. Mm-hmm. And she keeps saying, no, but I can rip it. Yeah, rip it. Frog as much as you need to frog.
Yeah.
But that's how you're going to learn.
Tell us about your podcast.
So I have only done a few episodes, but what I try is to get... Then English patterns, which are more accessible to Spanish knitters. So I give a few tips about what patterns to follow, and I bits of vocabulary. I was talking to them about frogging, about FOs and whips, for example.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because I also recommend podcasts in English that are easy to get people to understand. Because if you are listening English on something that you are interested in, you're going to learn it quicker. Because you know what they are talking about. So start watching podcasts in Spanish.
Okay.
Not mine, I speak too fast.
I'll get there someday, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you also know what they are talking about, so it's quite easy to kind of follow. Irish knitter, Jonathan Days, he lives in London, but he's Irish.
Okay.
And he follows the normal pattern of finished objects, work in progress, and he gives a lot of details.
That's a good tip. Great. Okay. We're asking this to everybody.
Okay.
So, and it's kind of, a lot of people have had a hard time answering it.
Oh, great.
So, if you could craft anywhere in the world and you could take one person, where would you go and who would you take with you?
I would probably go to Australia. I know New Zealand, but I haven't met Australia yet.
Yeah.
And that's going to sound really cheesy, but at the moment I don't have much time with my husband, so I will take him with me.
Oh, I love
because
that.
We have two little kids. Oh, Jesus. He can actually, he doesn't understand my podcast. He's Irish.
Oh.
He can actually understand this. So he's going to be traumatized. Never mind. But yeah. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
How is the fair going?
So far, so good. I really love this show.
Oh, it was busy this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, very busy, but it was really high energy, and it felt really good to be around all the knitters.
I heard you were making a new book, because your Neons and Neutrals book was big in Spain anyway.
I'm still enjoying Neons and Neutrals right now. The book came out earlier this year, and I've been on tour all year long, so I'm still enjoying promoting Neons and Neutrals and knitting patterns from the book.
Yeah.
I have plans to work on a third book. I don't have an official date when I'm going to start working on it. But
you're busy anyway.
Yeah, I'm busy. I've got lots of things going on.
And then new yarns, I heard there's a few new yarns now. Helix and Phoenix are the ones you had before. And there's a new one.
And there's a new one called Alix.
Alix.
So 2023 is the year of new bases for La Bien-Aimée. When I make a new base, it can take up to 2 years to work on a base. Okay. And so I've been working on a lot of these bases for almost 2 years. So that's why it feels like this year La Bien-Aimée has a lot of new yarns coming out, because I've been working on them from the middle of the pandemic all the way until this date. The newest one we released last week was called Alix, which is a sibling yarn to Helix and Felix. It's named after my daughter, my daughter's name. She's cute, and I knew that I wanted this yarn to be cute. And for me, I relate that to being soft, and so I wanted to use a really nice fiber like Surrey Alpaca.
Nice.
So I mixed it with a Falkland Corridale, and it's a really nice soft yarn.
I haven't had a chance yet to go to to your stall, but I can't wait to just...
Well, you can come over to the booth and you can come squeeze the skeins.
Yeah. I think that's what we all miss the most during the pandemic, that not being able to touch yarn.
Yes.
So it's really nice to have fairs going on again. And it's really nice. And I saw the new pattern as well, the bandana.
Yeah.
I have never done interest here.
Okay, so this would be a really good one for you to try.
Nice. Yeah. Have you been able to have a look around the
I have not walked around yet today. I plan on taking a walk there tomorrow. Usually I save myself for Sunday to walk around. The booth has been rather busy. This is the first time that I've left the booth to come over for the interview here. So tomorrow will be my day to walk around.
Is there any brands, Spanish brands?
Let's see. I'm a big fan of Wool Dreamers. There's lots of like independent Spanish dyers that I like, and I come and I like to do all my shopping here at the fair. I'm like a tactile person, so I need to go up and touch the yarn and look at it.
Yeah.
So tomorrow is going to be my day to go to each of the booths and try to find some new yarn to take home with me.
I recommend you, because with the like of fibers you have, Alpacas El Camino. He does his own, he has his own alpacas, and he does his own fiber.
I will go look.
And he knows so much about fiber. He's really good.
Amazing.
No, everybody in the, like, I think it's a great, great festival. And the fact that we have so many international brands is great as well.
So. And so many international knitters.
Yes.
I have met so many knitters from all over the world, South America, Europe, United States. It's amazing.
I recommend podcasts in English, in my podcast, because I want Spanish knitters to have more access to English patterns. And I want to say, your podcast, it's quite easy to understand for a Spanish speaker thing. You are really calm yourself when you're recording, but as well, you have great people in your podcast, not only yourself. So I would like to recommend that in Spanish. Because it's really nice. You haven't been doing it for long, have you?
No, I haven't been podcasting for very long. I really started with my last book, with Worsted Book. I wanted to find a way to be able to connect with people. We were doing Zoom knit nights. And so I thought, why don't I put my Zoom knit nights onto YouTube? And then I wanted to like talk with designers more and get to know them a little bit in a shorter format. So we started these new things with Neons and Neutrals called Conversation with Designers. And so I have a series of videos where I talk with two designers from each of from the book over several weeks and just talk about everything.
And then because it's like the way you mix things.
Dos recording.
Yes. The two. Hello everyone. My name is Ana. I'm from Alpacana. And I have an alpaca farm in the north of Spain, and I'm here to sell my alpaca fleece and my skins dyed by me.
I also just realized that the name of your business is Alpaca Anna, which is your name. And
yes, you did it. You got it. You got it. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Look, it's been a long day.
Yes.
But I got there. I figured it out. I love that. The name, did you put that together?
Yes. That's
so smart.
The result
I love
of
it.
Yum. Just so you need
push
to,
them together.
Yes,
yeah.
Put them together, yes.
Yeah. You are one.
Yes, yes, we are one, we are one, yes. Yes.
So you have alpacas.
Yes.
How many do you have?
I have 11, mm-hmm. 11 alpacas, and that's the most special animal in the world. It's not because they are my family. It's true. If you know an alpaca, if you know it, you know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
So I take my bag.
Oh, yes, here.
Yes. This is a drone made by Paloma Liranzo. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's my alpacas. My girls. As I say, my girls. Each one of them have his own personality. So Paloma take the essence of each animal. That's Enya, that's Freya, Diana, Lady D. That's the princess. That's the princess. Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
The personality of princess. That's lovely. And that's the old one, the mother of all of them, because it's the old one. That's integrity. Yeah? That's Ilsa. This the...
Sassy.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And that's sisters born the same year, the same month. And that's Antea and Angela. And that's all the boys. And that's the old one, Baltasar. That's the small one, Beowulf. And that's the intermediate, Otto. And each animal, I can recognize in this draw my animals because... each one has his own personality. Mm-hmm. That's so special animal. I have no words to explain. You have to go to my farm and see them because it's lovely, lovely.
All right, everyone, we're going to go to the farm and see the alpacas together.
Yes, yes.
That's so cute. Okay, so everyone has their personality. I love that you have a Lady Di.
Yeah.
The princess.
Yes, because it's so sweet.
So sweet.
His eyes, so sweet. See, look at you. I have a photo. You can see how his big eyes, big black eyes, look at you. And it's so sweet. I cannot say that, but it's my favorite.
Oh.
Only you know.
Okay.
Only
well,
you know, eh?
I
don't,
mean,
don't say anybody.
People watching this.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
I know,
tell.
I know.
Don't tell.
No,
all
no,
of you. That, we all have a collective secret.
Cut this part. Because if the rest of them hear it,
yeah.
Maybe it will be a problem in the farm.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I hope not.
I have to say that the alpaca doesn't split.
Oh.
Doesn't, no.
Oh, okay.
It's the llama. It's the llama who splits.
Llama, right.
Yes, yes.
Right.
It's a question that most of people ask me.
Yeah.
But it's not true. Oh, alpaca is so special.
So special.
Doesn't split.
Yes. Okay. No splitting alpacas. Just don't ask that question.
Don't ask it. No, again,
yeah.
Please.
You crack me up. That's so funny. How long have you had your business?
Yes, I take my animals in the 2017, but I begin to process my fiber and sell my skins 2 years ago.
Really?
Yes, Wool Dreamers, you know them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They split my skins.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I dye them in my house.
What makes the España fiber community special?
Well, I think it's not only Spanish, it's the community all around the world, because I know people in other countries, and in that community is amazing, because we forgive and we involve knitting and we involve sharing. So I think that's a community amazing. It's time I come, because this is not my first time, but the energy that moves this community is the same here than in other countries.
Mm-hmm. Everybody lifts each other up.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if there are people who don't, they get left behind.
I remember my first fair. I come with my sister. My sister doesn't knit, but she comes with me to see. There was a moment in the fair that tells me, what was this? What you drink or something? Because the energy is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And as I say, it's my gasoline to continue making my work. I love my work. I love my farm. I love my animals, but that's the results. I come here and share with all the people my fleas, talking about my animals, the process. That's best.
People who don't have alpacas, what is one thing that they don't know about alpacas?
Well, it's surprising, but the poo is very special.
Oh.
The alpaca poo is... yes, the poo.
Okay, well, now you have to tell us why.
if you are a gardener and you can buy alpaca poo, that's the best for your plants, the best for your flowers, yes.
Oh,
and goodness. with a little, mm-hmm. Yes.
Just need a little, yeah. a little poo.
Yes, a little poo, yeah. It's great.
So do you have a beautiful garden?
I am not good at
that's okay.
That.
That's yeah. Okay. You're good at yarn.
Yes,
you don't have to be good at a garden. Yeah, yeah.
I cannot be good in everything.
It's true. Yes. And none of us can. Thank you. We are here with somebody very special. You have probably already seen Knit Leaks somewhere in your Instagram feed. But I'm here with Nara, and we're going to start chatting. I have questions for you. You have questions for me.
Yeah. Let's do this. It will be so much fun.
I do want to know a little bit more about you before we jump into Knit Leaks.
Okay.
So when did your maker journey begin?
During the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I'm a very recent maker. I began with knitting, and after that I tried 3 times to crochet.
Yeah.
But failed. And then on the 4th time, I got it.
Oh, there we go.
And now,
4 times the charm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now I knit and crochet and got a bit addicted on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
It happens.
I know a little bit about that. Yeah.
So, and that's it. It was during the pandemic. And then after that, I just started Knit Leaks.
Was there any creativity in, like, growing up or nobody?
No. All my family are physicians.
Got it.
So
okay.
Scientists, dentists, mm-hmm. and researchers.
Got it.
But in the biological fields.
Oh, my goodness.
So, no. Nobody.
No creativity, just lots of smarts.
I would say more like rational and very driven people in science.
Mm-hmm.
But no. When I began my journey as a maker, my family was like, what? Knitting? What is it? Like, they were like, no, not getting what I was doing.
Do they get it now?
I think so, because I have this communication thing. Maybe I think it's more that, like, they got that I want to communicate, to be informative, other than knitting or crocheting.
Just in case people watching have not heard about Knit Leaks.
Okay.
We want to know all about, like, tell everybody all about it.
Knit Leaks is a platform or a hub of information all about knitting, crocheting, or any other crafts. So we have a website, an Instagram account, and a YouTube channel. You can find us at Knit Leaks on Instagram, the YouTube the same, and our webpage is knitleaks.com. So we are a team of 10 writers right now, and located in various, many, many countries.
Mm-hmm.
We think that diversity is very important for
mm-hmm.
us, and all the writers are makers too. So we publish a daily article in our website, which is also content to our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And we do lots of events too, like Barcelona Needs.
I know, you've been at so many festivals lately.
Many festivals, yeah.
Yeah, you've been traveling everywhere. Within your festival travels, have you seen anything? Hello! Perfect, I love this.
Of course.
Thank you.
That's going to stay in the interview.
Yeah.
That's cute.
So you've been traveling to lots of festivals.
Right.
I feel like every festival is a little bit different.
Very different.
Yes. Well, yeah. Very different. Yeah. Has there been anything that's been like really unique that has like changed the experience or like made it easier or more fun that you've seen at a certain festival that you're just like, this was awesome?
I think Barcelona Needs is a very easy festival to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the language helps. I'm a Portuguese speaker. They are not the same language, Portuguese and Spanish, but they are very similar.
Yeah.
The organizers are super nice and competent.
Yes.
And the communication flows. You know, for what we do, it's everything.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, there are many other events that are not that organized, but not, it's not the issue. I think people are more, I don't know, shyer or are not so open. So I think the culture influences also.
Ah.
So for us that we work with communication, sometimes it's more difficult traveling and going to those festivals, but it's interesting in any case.
Communication is key, especially when you're traveling. I don't know. The unknown is not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with stuff like this, you know.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you. They've been wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I started, for example, when I travel, it's just me. I go alone. And I'm just with my cell phone, my gimbal and my microphone, like filming. And I have Asian roots. And I say I'm a Brazilian. And I was an ex-lawyer and now I'm a fiber reporter. So everybody was, what? What are you doing
here? Love that you were a lawyer. That's so great.
A tax lawyer.
You told me that on our call when we chatted before. And that's right. A tax lawyer. You're having more fun now, yeah?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Tax law is fun, but you know, in another way. Yeah. So I think, sometimes it's easier to navigate on events like this. Every place I went had a specific, a very interesting characteristic, and I love it. It's so... it's an experience, a self-growing experience.
You kind of learn something new every time.
Every
time. About yourself and about the business and what you need to be doing differently and...
Exactly.
And what's working.
Yeah. And I think the biggest lesson I had was to be prepared. I mean, to research, to know how is the culture or something that could be... a bit difficult about it, transportation or you know services. I think that helps.
Always be prepared.
Yeah.
What are you working on right now?
Well, I'm wrapping up my year in terms of events. Barcelona Needs is my last event of 2023.
So you're going to take a really long nap.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm going back to Lisbon after Barcelona, and from there I'm going back to Brazil.
Nice.
And I'll be there until Vogue Knitting Live on January. And then my year begins again.
Begins again.
2024.
How many festivals did you do?
More than 20.
Oh, my God. We did 3 and I'm exhausted.
Yes, like it was kind of hectic.
Yeah.
Very good. But not all festivals. I mean, private events, festivals, more small fairs, or... like this, but I try to do like go somewhere and then, for example, run back and do all of the stuff, or to a specific place in Europe and do as much as I can.
A little bit more selective in 2024.
Yeah, in terms of respect my time and rest.
Yes, it's so important. Yes, Maybe that should be everybody's goal in 2024 is respect your time.
Yeah.
Like your own time.
Exactly. I think 2023 was a time to promote Neatleaks, to advertise, to meet more clients, and it was important. But now, 2024, I think it's like grow the business, but cultivate the clients, try to be better, and do this stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think it will work.
Fingers crossed. I like that. How many writers do you have on your team?
I have 10 people and 7 writers. But 2 of the fixed members are writers too. But they don't write every week or, I mean, in a permanent basis. So I would say 9.
What is your dream interview in the crafting community? And then what is your dream interview outside of the crafting community?
I've been talking and interviewing many interesting people. I would like to have a very deep and profound chat with Nora Gong because I think she's like genius.
Yeah.
And we chat, but very quickly in many events. And Patty Lyons.
I love
Patty so much. Yeah. And I think she has a specific field of work. I have so many questions for them.
Yeah.
And in life, I would love to interview the Beatles.
Oh,
because I'm very a huge Beatles fan. But it's not at least Paul McCartney.
There you go. There's a possibility there. Yeah. Okay. Or I mean, you know, we could do a séance. No.
Yes.
If you could craft with anyone at all, friend, family, or somebody famous, and go anywhere in the world with them, who would it be and where would you go?
It's a tough question.
I know, I'm sorry.
Please edit this part. There is a long pause.
Yes,
and
we're editing the long
tomorrow,
pause.
Tomorrow I'll come back and then...
There we go, yes.
I think I like to present or introduce knitting and crocheting for people that don't know how to do it, but are already makers. For example, I have a very good friend who is a knitwear designer, international known knitwear designer, and I taught her how to crochet. And we got obsessed with raffia during the summer, and we did like, I don't know, 3 bags on granny squares with raffia. So it was amazing. I would like to go to Asian countries. I've just been to Japan and Korea, and I think there are so much to see and learn there. So maybe I would go there.
Awesome.
Okay, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
What did you or do you expect to know and to meet and to find out here in Barcelona Knits?
Everybody that works at Making right now, which we're a very small team.
Right.
We're in the U.S.
Right.
But our maker community on the app is global.
Okay.
A lot of them are from the U.S., but we're hoping to grow the community more. And I think, you know, as we were just talking about earlier, every single event that we do, we learn more. And what I'm hoping is that I can bring home some insights and some suggestions for the app and for the community and how we can better serve everybody. That's what I'm hoping to learn, because we're in a really beautiful spot right now where we're such a baby when it comes to like tech and apps, that we really have this benefit of kind of being at the beginning.
Okay.
And we can shape it and make it whatever it is. And we're hoping that the community will also help us with that, too.
Yeah, and how is it going so far?
It's going great. We have just such a beautifully diverse community of humans and craft. We're about to launch the second version of the marketplace.
Okay.
So right now, designers can sell their PDF patterns, and soon people will be able to sell their yarn, supplies, finished goods, all of that. We're just going to be a really awesome marketplace filled with handmade items and things that help people make those things.
Great.
Yeah.
What is your biggest knitting confession?
I don't swatch.
My God. This is big.
Don't come at me.
This is big. Guys, this is big. This is like...
Okay, I took a class one time.
Okay.
We had classes for a while on the Making app. We've paused them for now, but I took a class one time. So here's the thing is I am very good at lots of things. Numbers and math, I am not.
Right.
I will get there. Someday I will knit something and I will regret it.
But your garments are great. I mean,
how
come you get those results without swatching? It's odd. I mean,
magic powers.
Okay. Okay, the universe.
Yes, the universe is kind to me right now.
What is the best advice you would give to your younger self? Knitting related or not?
Knitting related or not. Okay. Listen to your gut, because it will take you to amazing places, and you will do amazing things when you do.
Great advice. And the last...
Hi, I'm Astrid from Lasada's Knitting Accessories. We are from Israel, and we are here at the Barcelona Knit that it's amazing. Mm-hmm. We are having an amazing time.
Is this your first time at Barcelona Knits vending?
Mm-hmm. No, it's my fifth time.
Oh.
Yes, almost every year. We really like to be here, the vibe of the fest, and the people here is amazing. All the year, we are planning to be here at Barcelona Knits. It's the place to be.
Yes, yes. We're going to talk about you first and then your business. When did your maker journey begin?
I knit, I crochet, I do some embroidery and some sewing.
Sewing?
Sewing.
Yeah,
yes. I started when I was like 10 years old with my grandma. And then a lot of YouTube, but my main craft is knitting.
So grandma taught you?
Yes.
Yes. What was the first thing you knit?
A scarf that was something very long, very thin, not wearable at all.
I always say if it's a scarf that's your first... It's a scarf something.
Yes.
Because
yes,
that's how mine was.
Yes.
Tell us about the name of your business.
Lasadas in Spanish is yarn over, but it's also from the word lazos. Lazos is connections. From the very beginning, it was very important for me, all the connections. All the good things that you can do when you craft, if it's a gift for a friend, that it's a connection. If it's to be in a yarn festival from people around the world, there are a lot of connections, amazing connections. That's what was very important for me. I'm Argentinian, living in another country. And it was important for me, something meaningful also in the name of the
business.
Yeah.
Connection is just an important thing. And I think that we, as people who craft, because we put so much of ourselves into what we make, we can come together more and feel that more.
I think when you give something that you did, it's like a hug. Part of you goes with the gift.
Love woven in.
Yeah.
Your website says that your products are made in-house by your team and the Israeli Mental Health Association.
Yes.
Tell us about that partnership.
We work with the Israeli Mental Health Association, ENOSH. The workshop is in Hummel Fachem. An immigrant myself, it was very important for me. That connection too, the connection with another culture also, and the opportunities that we can make together.
What has been your favorite thing that you have done in your business this year?
Lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
We are making an amazing yarn care line with aromatherapy. and everything is natural and with essential oils, and to be in touch with these amazing materials, it was a journey. It was something new with a lot of study, and I think that I'm very proud of this, because it was something absolutely new for me.
Mm-hmm. And to put so much care and time into making something that cares for the things that we put so much time into.
Yes.
That's beautiful. So when does that come out?
We have it here. Oh, absolutely. We have with
wonderful.
On our stand.
Okay, I'll come by. Are you selling it on your website as well?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We wanted to launch it in Barcelona.
Oh, exciting. Yes. We have an exclusive, everyone. If you could knit anywhere in the world and bring one person, and they could be family, friend, or somebody famous, who would it be and where would you go?
Like that? Without any planning?
I mean, you can plan a little bit. And now I know so much more about you're a planner. You like to plan.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I'm Virgo. I need everything to
plan. Yeah.
I think my sister, she's with me right now.
Fun.
Because she's fun and she's creative.
Wonderful. Where would you go?
New York.
New York. That's a fun city. We love New York. Awesome.
Thank you. So excited to be here. So I'm Stefania, and with a friend that is at the booth at the moment, of course, Julia. I run a small business from Italy, and it's called Lanivendole. So I know it can be a bit tricky to pronounce. But
Lanivendole.
You're great.
I got it.
And we started producing our own yarns, basing on Italian fibers. We started them with a mill in Piedmont, the fashion district, about spinneries, and it has a great tradition. And then we do all the hand dyeing, and that's basically all. Well, actually, we started a few years ago from an hand spinning experience because we ran a textile art workshop association. And so we've been able to know how our land was capable of sourcing fibers from textile for textile purpose, and also to know the breeders and to handle the fibers, how it behaves and how it takes dyes and so on. And then we decided we have to do something with all this knowledge.
Yeah.
And because there was actually no such a company like this in Italy, because in Italy you have a big fashion trend. It's not the artisanal part. It's completely lost. And there's so little people spinning. And, knitting is just improving, of course. But it's not that developed, I think. Well, it was not when we started.
Yeah,
now it's better, of course. But anyway, that drew us to think of doing something different. And the aim when we started was just to get the international audience to know that in Italy that could be a good yarn production. So it was quite difficult actually to find the proper mill that could work with the tiny amounts of fibers and batches. And the very first batches were something like 10 kilos.
Wow.
So definitely tiny. And but it helped to start, of course.
Yes, yeah, you have to start
to try and so on. And then year after year, we just improved. And now we are quite happy to have our own lines and blends and being capable of going around Europe.
Yes. Yeah. Coming to Barcelona next.
Yeah. From the very first edition, actually, we've been here.
Yeah.
We grew together, I believe.
Yeah.
It was our first year, I believe, because before we had just Hansmann yarn. And it was so time-consuming. When we started with the mill spun, one of the very first shows was here. Yeah, so it's wonderful.
This year is the biggest, right?
Yeah,
the most people?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, 2019 was quite huge as well. Mm-hmm. There were fewer exhibitors, I believe. And I don't know, because I was alone that edition, so it was a bit crazy for me to...
So I want to talk about you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What is your maker journey? Where did everything begin?
Okay, well, I started with knitting, of course, from my granny.
And when did she teach you?
I was something like a teenager, I think. Yeah. Ooh, there's a boat.
That's a boat. Okay, I was like...
Well, I live in Genoa, okay, so I'm used
we're
to this
trying
sort
to
of
talk
sound.
Here. Yeah.
Not scary for me.
Yeah. I thought it was like a fire alarm or something.
Oh, right.
Because I just assume it's different, like a fire alarm sounds different here than it does in the state.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just assumed, I was like, that's a fire alarm. We have to leave.
Yeah. But everybody's fine. So.
Everyone's, I know, I'm the only one that's panicking.
Okay.
This is called anxiety.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I'm sorry, please continue. Your grandma taught you when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the other grandma actually was a sewer, a tailor. I just grew up with clothes and patterns and the ability of using, different needles, but always a needle and a thread.
Mm-hmm.
And so knitting and this sort of making was just part of myself, as it's always been. Then I just gave up and then take it back and so on. And it was a time around 2005, something like that. Maybe later, because it was by the time that Reverie was born and the knitting community started to grow.
Yeah.
And I was in pregnancy at home. Mm. And so I started browsing everywhere. Yeah, of course. And I said, oh my gosh, there's a world outside here.
Yeah.
So I started to learn to spin and to dye just at home. And just started from there. Then I made friends. I convinced them to start themselves.
Great.
Yeah.
I know. So. Convincing all the friends to do your favorite things.
Yeah.
So that you can all do it together.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You talked about this a little bit. On your website, it says that quantities of each yarn type are quite limited.
Yeah.
So share a little bit more of why.
The main reason is that in Italy, we don't have a great tradition of breeding for wool and or fiber purpose. So we work with mainly two breeds of wool, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And the herds just each year have a slight variation in the quantity they produce. And they're just not that much. For instance, Julia is carrying a cashmere goat farm where we have our main headquarters, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, just we gather the fiber, of course, from their goats and from other small herds that we know, but they are so limited.
Yeah.
So we have to really plan years ahead the production in order to make it doable, of course.
Yeah.
Affordable, because the cost rises as much as the batches are lower, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to balance everything and decide what kind of yarn to produce each year. Sometimes we can manage to have large amounts, so we make stock.
Yeah.
But it's something that we really like, because it seems that our production is quite a live thing, because because it's something that changes with the weather, how much the herds have been doing lambs, and how much they have grown and have been sheared. So each year is slightly different. And sometimes it happens that the blends too that come out from the meal are slightly different, because it's a semi-artisanal sort of production. So that's what we wanted. That was our aim, to keep producing a yarn that is different from the mainstream, the main production, of course.
Yeah.
And so that's why the quantities are quite limited in that sense. To us, it's a lot of yarn that we produce, but of because course, it's yeah. just the two of us. So sometimes we say, how can we deal with that?
Yeah.
If it's 200 kilos, it seems a lot, but in the end, it works.
Tell us how you got your name.
Oh, yes. I had a couple of friends from Florence, mm-hmm. and we were just having dinner together with them. And we had a small show there a lot of years ago, and we were just talking about a project that was about to start, and they have no knowledge about knitting and this world or anything, but they say, so you basically are women who sell yarn, and in Florence dialect that means lani vendole. Vendole is the vendors.
Yeah.
Lani is the wool, of course. Yeah. And they say, so you're exactly lani vendole. Easy as that. And yeah. we said, okay, it sounds so good. We have to use it.
Well, yeah.
That person, genius.
Yeah. And he did it for free.
I know. So. Yay, even better.
This is one I've been asking everybody.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a hard question.
Okay.
But you're gonna do great.
I can make it.
You're going to do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you could knit anywhere in the entire world.
Yeah.
And bring one person.
Yeah.
And even if they don't know how to knit, you could teach them.
Yeah, sure.
Where would you go and who would you take?
Okay. I think I'd go to Japan. I want to be there sometimes, so it could be a great chance to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. And who can I bring? I would say I would bring my dog, but she couldn't knit. Yeah.
No, but I understand. Yeah. I love my dog so much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
my cat. Yeah.
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 So,
they're babies. Not Julia, because I am always with her. So I would choose someone else.
Is there somebody like famous who you'd be interested in like getting to know? Because you don't have to hang out with them a lot to teach them how to knit.
Yeah. I would say Bona Vox. How do you too?
Oh,
it's when I was a teenager, it was my idol.
So
I love that.
Hello, I'm Chiara, and I'm here with my partners. We are the organizers of Barcelona Knits, and we want to share a little bit of our experiences with you.
Yeah, I'm Anna. I started knitting like 10 years ago, but when I was 6, my mother told me how to knit, but I only do scarves or something like this. But 10 years ago, I started doing more stuff when I discovered Ravelry and the community. That's why I came into this world.
I am Eva. I am part of the organization with Chiara and Anna, and also with Chiara, we run a yarn shop that calls La Lana Lu.
How did you all meet?
It was fun because like we were like differently we wanted to organize a yarn festival, and then we were talking to some people like, hey, we have this idea, and then someone put us in contact and say, hey, like both of you have this idea and both of you have this idea. I think you're like trying to do the same thing at the same time, so we may like talk to each other.
I mean, we know we knew each other, but me as a customer, and I went sometimes to your shop or in other festivals that you were exhibitors. I mean, we know who was the Chiara and Eva, and they know me, but we were not friends at that time.
Yeah.
And the point for arrived to this point, I want to organize a festival. We four was traveling a lot and visiting other festivals. Like we was in Edinburgh, they was in Dublin.
Also in Berlin Knits, that they have two editions there.
And it was like, okay, if this is happening in other European cities, why not in our city? And for this, it like I was starting to say, Chiara.
Well, actually, since the first year, or maybe the second year at our shop, she was like, why don't we organize a yarn festival? And like, I am always the one who says no, stop, not on this way. And she was like having ideas. And there was a point I said, okay, let's do it. Let's go for it.
And we have to say that Eva always have crazy ideas.
Crazy and good ones. We have to say. Someone are like, oh my God, like I don't know what you had last night, but that one is a good idea.
Yeah. When you had this idea then, what did it, was it just like something that started coming, or was it like, was it
night at a drag show where you've had wine and all of a sudden it's like, bing, a light bulb comes on.
I think it was to see people in other festivals having so much fun. It was like, why to travel to experience this if I can experience it in my city? The problem that I was not thinking about is to organize a festival means that you don't enjoy the festival.
You're the last one to enjoy the festival.
Yes. Yeah. You're the last one to buy, the last one to go. You never go to a workshop.
Yes.
You choose like the best workshoppers, but you never go a workshop. That is like to see the people going to the workshops, going out with a smile. This is like the best feeling ever.
When you see the excitement that you say that when other people is talking about the people who will be at your festival, and I think that this is the best feeling that we have because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
You cannot imagine how much work is to organize a festival.
And we was, three of us, we was not imagining. We was never organizing a festival.
Yeah.
I was not organizing a festival, but I was in organization of a kind of Etsy festival here in Barcelona. Then I was knowing a little bit of what
means
to rent a place, rent tables, but it was like 20 stands, not 80. It was not really the image that I had in my head. It was not reality.
If you can go anywhere in the world and knit or crochet, we'll just call it a vacation since I'm pretty sure you all three each need one.
Yes.
And you can bring one person.
Okay.
And if they don't know how to do your craft, you can teach them. So you can hang out and do that.
Mm.
Where are you going and who are you bringing?
Oh my God, this is really hard. Just like the first thing that came
That's
up to my mind.
Hear.
It was like going to Toki Toki Pequeno. It's a beach in São Paulo, where I'm from. And my mom, because she taught me how to crochet. So, yeah, that would be nice to go to the beach and crochet.
Yeah.
If you want to join us, you're all welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you
for that. Yes.
Maybe somewhere in the countryside. Maybe Scotland or Ireland. Some place like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I cannot say my boyfriend.
Because I mean, you could.
You could.
Yeah. You could pick anybody.
Like the
she knows how to crochet.
But it's a dream. What you will dream? Like the person you will dream about.
I don't know. Maybe you too.
Yeah, I'm up too.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I like it.
I will choose a train to Siberia or something like this kind.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I remember that the best, for me, I go to Slovakia often, quite often, because my husband is from there. And I really love to go in this old train, knitting.
Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah. Like, without nothing more to do than knit for hours and days. And with someone, I'm like not to teach her, but to share again time with her, I would choose my grandma.
Some people chose hot famous people so that they could hang out with hot famous people. But you had very like lovely answers. You got really excited. And so I thought you were like going to say somebody like
someone in mind that would say it. But I was like, I'm pretty sure she would.
I can choose a drag queen too for them.
Yes. Okay, well that's a really good lead-in to my next question.
Maybe I can have my grandma on one side.
The cabins, they are like shared, you know, like for three or four people.
Yes.
You could have a party there.
Yes, yes. Perfect. It's for six people. Then I can choose many drag queens.
Yeah. Last night there was a dinner, and you do this every year, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And it's called I'm going to forget. Tapas and
yarn. The second one, the easy word. You did well with the first one. It was like tapas, okay, but like yarn.
Okay, so tapas and yarn. We'll pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Anyways, we were having such a good time. There was wine and good food. And then all of a sudden, a drag queen comes out. And we had a performance.
Yeah.
And everyone was dancing and singing along, and it was just this most joyous, beautiful moment.
Yeah.
So if you ever come to Barcelona Knits, you need to get tickets to do that. But who, I know you had the idea for drag queens.
Yeah.
Yes. Was this from the first year?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because the first year,
the thing is, we was organizing first time the dinner, mm-hmm. and when we was like 1 month close to the dinner, first I introduced that I am freaky of the drag queens, totally. I follow all the reality shows, I see them
on GPS,
everything.
Yeah.
Then we was 1 month to that dinner, and it was like, they have an idea. we can hire someone. Okay, what idea you have? A drag queen in the same way. No, but I show them few mm-hmm. options, and finally we had a gala. Right.
And the second year, it was on Saturday.
They and say, where is here? Not drag queen, Eva.
Yeah. And we were walking from the hotel.
The same day of the fair, the same day of the dinner.
And Eva says, triple the drag queen. And it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and we say, yes.
And you know, I always have a drag queen number in my phone.
And she was like, call 000.
But you had more than one.
Yes, I have. Yes. But then we have the third year.
Yeah.
Online.
No, online we cannot do it.
Yeah. Online, not drag queen. But then next year I say, okay, drag queen again. And they say, okay, Eva, you win.
Yeah, now it's part
now
of
it's
the.
Part of it.
Yes. We hire a drag queen that I like her because I saw her shows. And 1 week before the festival, she say,
"Yeah, here is it. No fire alarm.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not a fire alarm."
They are calling the people.
Excuse me, we're trying to have a conversation over here.
Then 1 week before the festival, the drug that we was having, she say me, "Oh, Eva, I am sorry, but I will not be in this day in Barcelona." And I was like, "What?" Then she say me, "But I have really good friends." And then we meet the drug that we meet yesterday, and it's the drug we have the last 2 years.
Awesome.
We so love fun. Platanito.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe we can have Platanito next year.
Always, forever.
Your mind has been changed forever.
Yeah.
Always have at least one drag queen's phone number in your phone for these reasons.
For emergency.
Emergency.
Yeah. Yes.
If not, call me. I will give you the best.
The best contact.
We have put her phone number here to call. No, I'm just kidding.
Drag queen agency.
This can be other project for
her. I was going to say.
Even her ideas.
There's just something so wonderful about this event and this community. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier with the dinner last night, how everyone was just so joyous and dancing and singing and hanging out. I mean, I did the Macarena. I was 9 the last time I did the Macarena. And I didn't even have that much wine. So it was just so much fun. What would you tell people who are thinking to come here or maybe haven't and just are like seeing these videos and are like, maybe I should go to Barcelona next?
I think Barcelona has, as I said, I'm not from here, I'm Brazilian, and I've been living here for 11 years, and for some reason I stayed here. So Barcelona is a really nice city with we have the mountain, we have the sea. It's a nice weather, and there are so many beautiful things, some really nice sightseeing. And if you like yarns, I mean, it's the perfect match. You know, you can have a nice leisure tour, and then you also can join and have some yarn. So why not?
So if you are from a colder parts of the world, in November here the weather is usually is really nice. Mm-hmm. So you will spend a weekend or maybe a week with good weather, good food, good yarns,
and good people. Because for me the most important is the people is happy here. You see the people is smiling, it's making friends. I know many people that come first time alone and finish the festival I come on, I have many friends now because I like your sweater, and they start to chat, or, "Oh, look, this yarn you buy, like, it's really good feeling.
Yeah.
Loving there.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. This was so much fun. And thank you for having us. Like, I can't say enough. I'm a little emotional about it. It's been such a wonderful time.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dana. I'm the knitter, dyer, and one woman show behind the label Boredom Kills Design. I started a long time ago as a knitter. Then I became a pattern maker and designer. And then I decided I want to control the creative process a little bit better. And I started dyeing yarn. And now I started working with other designers. And I really feel good about, having this holistic story building up slowly. But I think I'm going for the first time in a good direction with my making.
When did you learn how to knit and who taught you?
I learned how to knit at a very young age. I was a kid and my mother was working like crazy. And my grandmother taught me everything I need to know about all the crafts. I know even how to make my own soap and these kind of things. But the only thing, we were doing our own juices and the soap and everything else, sewing and so many things. But actually knitting is the only one that sticked until my adulthood, because you can, do with two needles and you can just sit and watch Netflix, or you just hear a podcast, or you hear a book. So I stick to knitting. Mm-hmm. So I do also other things, but knitting is something I really prefer to do when I want to meditate and go into my creative self. I do crochet now more and more because it became interesting to me, especially since I discovered Irish crochet, which is kind of super interesting and super tedious craft, and it requires lots of skill and hours. And also Japanese crochet, so I'm slowly getting into it, but it's still not something that I do naturally, because knitting I do and I do other stuff. So for me it's like breathing. So.
Yeah, I learned to crochet not too long ago and I really enjoy doing it, but I've been knitting for a very long time.
Follow a complicated movie and they kiss and you didn't drop a stitch.
Yeah.
So it's...
Exactly. Or sometimes you do and, it's fine.
And it's okay. Yeah. It was very personal.
Yeah. With crochet, I did not realize how many different types of crochet there is.
Yes. Yeah. For me, it was also venturing in a completely different world. Mm-hmm. So many. And they indeed require different positioning. Because when you do Irish crochet, you do something like this.
Oh, my gosh.
Comparing to European crochet, when you crochet like this.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new world. So
slowly. Okay,
slowly. Yeah. One step at a time. Crochet, you also have something you don't have in knitting, because in knitting, if you sew something together, it's big pieces, so you understand the 3D look of the piece. Mm-hmm. But in crochet, if you do, especially Irish crochet, you have to sew on a doll, on a maker's doll.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just don't understand what you're doing. It's a whole new dimension of creativity.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to be pretentious and say like architecture, but it's going in a direction you have to build things and, I'm saving for the good maker's doll. And then you can stitch and then you can understand where you are and so on. Otherwise, you have a flower on your nipple and then it's a little bit too much.
How long did you knit before you started designing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually always wanted to design, but I didn't know how. And I was looking for courses who can teach me how to design Craftsy. So this is the first time where I found the courses that taught me how to think as a designer. And first of all, how to calculate, because I knew how to design and how to draw, but I didn't know how to calculate the gauge into the finished piece. So I watched the course. She was a teacher of mathematics or something like that, and she taught us everything about transferring the numbers in a sweater. And then, to be quite honest, because I used to be a scientist in my previous life, I put everything in Excel, what I knew, and then I built my own formulas for the body measurements. I found the body measurements online. It's a very simple formula how to calculate the gauge compared to the body circumference. And then I included positive or negative ease, and I built my own formulas. So every time I just put everything into Excel, it pukes something out. And then you have to do the footwork and to understand, is it correct? Did machine actually gave you the information you need? And then when I have this, I say, okay, this makes sense or this doesn't make sense, because sometimes it gives you some stupid numbers.
Yeah.
And then I start knitting it. And then when you knit, then you have to understand again and to adjust the pattern to a hand knitter. This process took many, many months, maybe even a year, because I had always had other jobs and kids and so on. So it was a very, very long process. So
yeah.
It was at least 1 year.
Wow.
Until I understood how to design for a female body.
Yes.
And then I wanted to design for my husband particularly and for the men's body, but I just didn't find any time to understand this different kind of construction. So now I'm in an hourglass.
Yeah.
Mathematics. And now I have to do the you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to understand men in general sometimes. So,
yeah. let us live in peace.
Yes.
And to be quite honest, I wasn't ready. And I actually realized I wasn't ready for the attention that I was getting and for the people who are actually really buying it and replying and want to communicate with you. How did you do this? How did you do that? And then I realized that I dived into more serious waters than I actually could handle at this moment. So I took a break, discovered a whole new world of yarn dyeing, became a knitter again, and I started again just last year, where I actually, in the meantime, while I was, you know, contemplating my craft, started to dye, developed the whole dyeing process, completely forgot about writing knitting patterns, and started all over again. And now I'm working with designers more as a tech editor for my designers than as a pattern maker, because in the meantime I discovered so many talented people that I got an imposter complex.
It gets us all.
Now I'm at a phase of my crafter's life or development or whatever to be maybe able to chunk out something new next year, but I'm still looking into my stomach to find the courage to be a pattern maker again.
Yeah. The universe will let you know when it's time.
Creativity is very hard.
Yeah.
For the first time, I understand people who are anxious and who are like, don't like being out there, and it's all not such an easy task.
I'm really happy. You've been dyeing yarn.
Yes, I'm dyeing yarn.
Mm-hmm.
This is also a process I was developing for years in the background. Started in my kitchen, and then until I was ready to sell, it was maybe also a year or two after having the third baby, where I understood, okay, now this really sticks to this yarn, so I can sell. I used to work in a biochemical laboratory, so I have science education. So for me, and still it took me, I knew how to behave in the lab and how to, you know, not to burn myself or not to you know, but other things to make a concentration. I think this is the most important thing, to understand the algorithmic concentrations and so on, and how to do the nice speckles. But still it takes you 1 year to be able to say, okay, this is the color I can get again, or, you know, I'm not getting it again, what can be the problem, temperature. So it all takes a lot of time. I'm trying to establish myself in the various versions of this craft for the last 10 years.
You were a scientist. And then before we started recording, you also said that you were a journalist.
Oh, this was when I was very, very young.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was like, what else have you been?
I've been everything. Some things for money, some things for love. I always wanted to study journalism and to... I wanted to be a war correspondent. I wanted to do tough journalism about tough topics and the political analysis and so on and so on. But somehow the life took me to other places. And I think now with knitting and after many, many years of doing other things, I'm slowly developing this idea of maybe, you know, putting everything together, writing a book about dyeing or like, you know, lifestyle designing, to combine all my knowledge, because I really did everything. The only thing I cannot do, I cannot sing in a choir. So you don't want to sing with me.
Okay.
If you sing, I can follow a little bit, but I have only one, it's only one scale I can cover. So don't go too high.
Okay. I'm like, I can sing at karaoke, but
But only Madonna.
Only Madonna.
I
got
can
it.
Sing
we
karaoke,
can do that.
Only Madonna, like a virgin.
Perfect.
This I learned.
Hi. My name is Livia. I am from a little company called Obijoba. We are two dyers, my mom and me, and we are from a little town closer to Madrid in the center of Spain.
So when did your maker journey begin?
It's a very good story.
Oh, good. We're ready.
I was working a few years in a multinational. Mm-hmm. In fact, I am IT engineer and business administration. Due to the coronavirus crisis, my life changed. I decided to find other work more related to the creativity because I am a very creative person. In this moment, my mom left her job also. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start a business with her. We used to knit a lot. We start to experiment with natural dyes. Mm-hmm. At the end, starts Obilloba.
When did you learn how to knit?
When I was young, when I was a child, my aunt showed me how to knit with needles, mm-hmm. with two needles, not the circular, the standard. Mm-hmm. But I like, but not so much. And mm-hmm. then in university, I started with the crochet. And then since 5 years, more or less, I used to knit more with circular needles.
Yeah, much easier, I feel like. Mm. Tell us about the name of your business.
Obilloba means the ball is going. Obilloba cada día te tiño más. It's difficult to explain in English because it's related to a Spanish song. Obilloba, cada día te quiero más. Obilloba. This is the joke.
Okay, I like it. What is it like having a business with your mom?
It's so nice because we understand each other very well. She has a very, very big creativity. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. For me, I like so much work with her. It's wonderful. And great. Also, she knits very, very fast. So for me, it's perfect. Because, for example, in sweater, is having knitted by her. I knit so slowly. So she dies and then needs to show the result of the yarn.
Perfect. How long did that take her to knit?
1 week or 2 weeks at most.
What?
I think, I don't understand. It's like magic.
Yes, magic. Superpowers.
Superpowers.
Yeah. That's amazing. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm impressed. Maybe like as you grow older to closer to her age, that's when those superpowers come out.
Maybe,
you know?
maybe. I hope.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
If you were to be able to knit anywhere in the world and bring one person, who would you bring with you?
Wow. My sister, because we are three. My mom, my little sister, which is 10 years less than me. And me, but she don't know to knit yet, and she's living out is in the Netherlands. So I would like that to carry her here and knit with her.
Yeah, great.
The three together.
Yes, I was gonna say she has to like join the family in the family business.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. It was so wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we rest.
Okay. Yeah. I need it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone.
See you next year in Barcelona.
Yes. Come to Barcelona Knits. Bye.